Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Welcome, everyone, to Angel Talk. Today we have an exciting show. It's going to be on the true meaning of faith. From the beginning of time, God has only asked one thing from us. If we have true faith, everything else comes into alignment. The question is, what does God consider faith? It is not passive, but it's active. Creation can only occur in movement. Anything that's passive will eventually fade away. So we invite you to join us here at Angel Talk as we expand on this topic, which is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. I would like to start off with a little prophecy here. From the higher consciousness beings of light, an expansion of awareness is happening, awakening areas of the mind and offering opportunities to grow, create, and manifest while in the physical world, and to understand your godlike qualities. At the same time, the opposing energies will try to take control, making you feel more selfish, turning away from helping others, blaming others for faults, and making you become more aggressive, greedy, envious, frustrated, and controlling. Recognize these influences and to try to keep them at bay, knowing that they are but negative patterns trying to work their way into your life and destroy it. But as the positive energies inspire many, new technology will grow. The medical community will discover new ways to eliminate certain terminal diseases. They will also find ways to help people with emotional issues by using certain frequency waves. Light and sound frequency will become more widely used for a lot of health conditions. Instruments will be programmed to function by your mind's thoughts for whatever its task was. By projecting your thought into the activity of an instrument that has been programmed for a certain task, it will direct that instrument to fulfill whatever it is being intended to do. Your voice will not be necessary, just your thoughts. It will not be long before AI will have this ability to completely read your mind and function to help you whatever it is your mind feels you need. This will be awkward at first until the synchronization is finally completed. New forms of travel are being developed. Different types of fuel will be used. Materials to build a vehicle will be stronger and lighter. Vehicles can be driven on the road, or they can be slightly floating over the road. This will mark the beginning stages of space travel for the public. Windows will be made to have the ability to shift from totally clear to sunblocking. Settings will be installed if one does not want their sunlight to be blocked, or to what degree one may want an automatic tinting. And this will happen to windows in your home, on anywhere that there could be windows. Due to all the chemicals that are being used on your property and in your gardens, insects are adapting and becoming resistant to these chemicals, making it much harder to keep them from destroying your crops. Nature has a way of survival, though. Due to extreme weather conditions, food and crops will be producing less than last year. Prices for products will raise and availability will be limited. Fresh water in many areas will be hard to find. Flooding will contaminate much of the water sources. Prepare yourself for the end of 2026 because major shifts on the earth will happen, causing a lot of people serious problems. As many catastrophes occur, there will not be enough help to come to the rescue of many. It will take the willingness of people to reach out and help those that have experienced disaster. Through your love for others, they will feel someone out there cares, and they won't just give up hope. It will be your faith in God that will allow you to be protected, for in the faith, we hold to the belief that He will help us in our times of need, for we know that He is our Lord and Savior, and will lift us up if we only have faith. So know your connection with God and always pray and give gratitude for all you have. For the Holy Spirit will be your comforter in these times of change. Blessings to you.
Wow, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
You know, you did say something, and you said that faith is not passive, but it is active. And you know, in creation or in restoration, it can only occur in movement. Anything that is passive will eventually fade away. It's just that simple. It's so interesting that, you know, just the other day I was talking with my doctor, and he said, you know, when I think about life and I tell other people, he said, you know, to me, you know, it's just like a computer, you know, a series of zeros and ones, you know, it's one or the other. And I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, you know, you're exactly right. That's the way I see it, too. I call it something different. I say it's two sides of the same coin. One side is of the dragon and Satan's way of doing things, and the other side is God's. And you can't have it both ways. You can't have God on Sundays and Satan on Mondays. It doesn't work. It never has, and it never will. And the more you build up or think you build up, if you're doing it from the wrong side of the coin, then it is going to be taken from you. Every last piece of it, you will be left with nothing. And that's the promises in the Bible. You don't have to take my word for it. You can read it for yourself. You know, how will you know when we're getting to that time frame? Well, you will find that the people around you become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, liars and cheaters. Well, I don't know about you, but you know, as I get on that list, I sure do see a lot of it around me.
That's for sure.
And no matter who you talk to, most will tell you. Now, I've had a few say, well, I'm an atheist. I just want you to know that up front, because I know that you're a reverend or a preacher. And, you know, my words to them are, good, because I would rather sit here and talk with an atheist who has, you know, no preconceived ideas of how God wants him to live his life than sit here and talk with someone who refuses to listen to anyone else's opinion but their own. And when we speak, Sandy and I, it's our opinion. It is what we have discerned through, if you had any idea of the walk we have walked and the things we have walked through. I mean, there were times when the Holy Trinity or the angels would come to us and they would say, we want to congratulate you for, you know, for taking on that mission and completing it. And we also wish to tell you that you had a 7% chance of surviving it. And the only thing I knew to say was, you could have told us that before we agreed to take it on.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I have come to realize that the 7% is God's number. It's 7. And so had God not been with us, we probably wouldn't have survived it. And those were not one time, 2 times, 10 times, but more times than I can count. And never has God asked us to do something that we didn't do. It's just that simple. And it's we've never looked at it as any other way. I mean, of course, if your God asks something of you, you do it. But yet, how many of us out there would do the same? Are you willing to stand up for your faith? Or is it something that, well, I said, you know, I took, you know, and said that I believed in Jesus when I was, you know, 12 years old or 17 years old or even 40 years old. And that's all I had to do. The preacher told me so. Well, my Bible tells me different. And if you read the same Bible that I do, I think that you will find that your Bible will tell you so also, that it's not enough just to say, well, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. When Jesus cast out the demons, thousands of them from the one man, and cast them into the pigs, they screamed, please do not destroy us, or do not throw us into the pits of hell. And they recognized who Jesus was, and they told him so, that he was the Son of the living God. And the demons believed, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them not to be demons. And if a demon can believe and still be subject to the pits of hell, then why would we think that we can just say we believe and we are saved from it all? It doesn't make sense. And the preachers that tell you so aren't taking the time to become in touch with the Father, with our God and Savior, Yeshua, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And if you are, then one comes the knowledge as you apply it, then comes the wisdom as you apply that, then you gain the understanding. And until you do, you will not know what to do and what not to do. The only way to walk this path at this time on our planet is by putting your will in one with God. And by that I mean, we were told, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, as you get out of bed, ask that your will be allowed to be placed into the will of God, and that God guide you in everything you do during that day, and bring to you those opportunities that you may be able to utilize them to show the glory of God and how it can manifest in your life. If you must battle or something comes at you that you must stand up against, just remember that it is up against you in spirit form and in the earthly form. There is no war that occurs on the earth that is not being fought in the spirit realms at the same time. And so when you pray, when you command in the name of Christ, you know, do so in the spirit realm and in the earthly realm. But walk with your hand and your will in God. And trust me, don't look left, don't look right, just follow. When Peter walked upon the water, because he saw Jesus walking on the water coming towards him in the boat, he jumped out of the boat and he could stay above the water and walk on it so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. The minute that he took his eyes off, he began to sink beneath the waves. And he would immediately turn back and see Jesus' face, and it would lift him up above the waters. The waters are the chaos of this world. And I don't know about you, but aren't you getting a little tired of sometimes of the chaos that just seems to linger in different places and through different people, and sometimes when you expect it and sometimes when you don't? But nonetheless, aren't you getting tired of having to, you know, to deal with all that on your own? It's not necessary, but it is up to you, because we live in a world that is free will. And if it is free will, then you can put your will in the same will as God, and God will lead you. But when the opportunities are shown to you, it is your choice to take them or not to take them. And trust me, it is so much easier than having to fight the rat race to get the things you need, to get the things done you need, to get the time. You barely get started. It seems like the day's almost over. Well, in this world, everything you see around you is not of God. It is of the dragon. When Christ said it is finished, it was finished. And the dragon set out to create out of what was already created. The dragon of itself or the satanic forces cannot create anything on their own, but they can take something that is already in creation and try to remold it or remake it. And it's a very poor quality, is it not? I mean, how many trees do you see that don't have a blade of some kind on them? How many things do you buy that they're broken right out of the box? I mean, as hard as man may try, you know, we cannot restore, you know, what worked, the intricacies of what was created in and of ourselves or in and of this earth, because it is all illusion. It is all being made by Satan and by the dark forces as we walk through it. And if we try to make those decisions on our own, you know, well, I'd like to have that over there, you know, and we set out about it. And too easy are we given a path that will let us have it, but we have to do something to take it from someone else. And if you take just an inch, you may have just taken several miles. It's the same thing. If you tell a lie, it's the same as if you killed the guy next door. You know, sin is sin. And once you go in that direction, then you've let a little piece in. And when a little piece gets in, it starts to grow until it becomes bigger. And before long, you realize that you're lying about everything. And just don't do it. You know, as you are walking forth and walking forward with your eyes upon Christ, you know with whether what you are doing, if something approaches you or appears to you as an opportunity, well, you know if it's of God, or you know if it's of you know, the forces that occupy this realm of time and space here on this earth, you know. But it's just too easy to say, well, you know, I'm not really harming anyone. Trust me. Trust me. The whole objective of the satanic forces and the dragon forces, which are in the spirit realm, are simply one thing: to take away everything that is God's. And that includes you and me and everyone else, you know, because it finds joy in being able to take even one of God's people away from following him, from making a mistake by desiring something that will only break over time. You know, I tell people, don't buy a new car. Gasoline's on its way out. You know, I mean, if we really look, did you know you can't buy a wood stove? I mean, anywhere, you can buy a pellet stove. And so long as there's pellets, well, you're probably in luck. But you can't buy a new wood stove. What's that tell you? I mean, it tells you something's changing awful drastically. Too many people rely on wood for their heating. And so why are they not available? You know, the key here is that it's too easy right now to be able to see the things that are changing. The coronal mass ejections are coming, you know, 2, 3, 4 at a time, one right after the other. And when they hit our magnetic field, well, they slam into each other, and they create something that is to the 10th power of radiation that comes into our magnetic field, because our magnetic field right now is at about 10% of what it should be. So we don't have a whole lot of protection. If you're outside, wear sunglasses. If you're outside, wear a hat that covers, you know, most of your face, if you can. For men, you know, a baseball cap is pretty good. It will cover a lot of the nose and areas of the face. But, you know, don't wait until it's too late, until you're already diagnosed with something that was caused by radiation. And it's necessary. It is so necessary. The more universal answer is that it refers to those believers, those who follow the Messiah of every nation, tribe, tongue. But if they are not born of Israel, how could they be called her children? The answer, according to the New Testament, is that they are her children. We are Israel's children. And yet, look around you. The colleges are standing up against Israel. Every nation on the earth is speaking out against Israel. You know, and if you think for a minute that if somebody came across the county line and attacked your family and families along the border of the county and slit their throats and took the rest into captivity and killed them one by one, that you wouldn't be going across that line and doing whatever it took to make sure it never happened again, because it has happened throughout, you know, the centuries. And in today's life, we forget because it's not really taught to our kids. And now they're burning the books. But if you really were able to look, pick up your Bible and look at the times that Israel has been attacked by the same individual groups. And, you know, they're provided with weaponry, and money and everything they need to attack. And from the times of the days of King David, when he was a little boy, you realize that he used a sling to kill Goliath. But that one rock, a sling was a weapon of war, believe it or not. And at that time, Israel had not been able to develop iron weapons or weapons of like the bow and things like that. And so a sling was a favorite weapon of use. And don't ever think for a minute that that sling wasn't dangerous, because it typically would travel at 62 miles per hour and it would go 1,300 feet with pinpoint accuracy. He killed lions. He killed bears. Now, what kind of a boy at 12 stands out in the middle of a field and goes up against a bear with a stone and a sling? But he always said, it is not me and the sling. It is the God of my fathers. It is the God I worship who stands behind me that makes that rock go through his skull and into his brain. And how many of us have that faith at the age we're at? How many of us stand up and say, enough's enough? You know, we need to give whatever's needed by Israel and back Israel, because nobody has gone through more in the centuries of time than Israel has, just to hold a piece of land. And they were scattered so many times and then thrown out, and everything they had was kept. Yet, we let governments call them names, fire 300 missiles at them, and we don't even speak up to our own government and say, enough, you know, back Israel in whatever way you have to. Because it's simple in the Bible. In my Bible, it says, those who bless my people Israel, I will bless. Those who curse my people Israel, I will curse. Well, I don't know about you, but if you look at who God curses down through the centuries, well, you'll see it's not a place you want to be. And so it really boils down to what kind of faith? What kind of faith do we have? The closer we come to the end of days, the more important it will be for the people of Messiah to stand as one. Right now, it's hard to find one, let alone find everybody standing as one. You know, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but I talk to a lot of people And they tell me, they say, you know, I go to church every Sunday, but minister never talks about those things. He never talks about what we should be doing or what we should be preparing for, or you know, what the Bible says is going to happen in these coming days, you know. And I know that only God knows the times and the days and the dates, but he has given us the ability to see the sign. And it says that Israel's greatest friends are those who follow the Messiah, Yeshua, and who are known as Christians is more evident now than it has ever been. As for the church, it has increasingly been moving to the reclamation of its biblical roots and its Jewish heritage as it turns increasingly from Rome and Jerusalem and to Jerusalem. The dragon's rage against each will accelerate their reunion, for each was destined in the end to be rejoined to the other. Just as each will be joined at the focal point of the dragon's fury in his rage against Israel and against the rest of her children, we as Christians. And so, you know, are we standing together, or are we saying those same words I hear so often? It's just the way it's always been. And, you know, I get so tired of hearing that, because that is such a cop-out. Anybody who says that to you, you should turn around, stand up, and look at them and say, you have no idea how it's really ever been. You know, I don't care if you're 75 years old. You know, time goes back a whole lot farther than that. And your Bible will tell you how it's always been. And, you know, if you want to believe in something, and I don't even like using the word believe, because if you look at it, the English language has been so distorted that the word believe has the word lie and it has Eve in it. So your brain, when you say it, is trying to decipher the message that you're giving it in a different way than the way you meant it to be. And it creates a war within you. Even belief has lie in it. And so the English language was meant to be, you know, English language or the angels' language. And of course, what would the dragon go for first? That language. And it's been just totally, decimated. And now they're burning the books. Why? Because it's his story. And, you know, honestly, if it were her story, it'd probably be more accurate. You know, if you look at all of the children's nursery rhymes, they all have sacred geometries in them. They all have sacred information in them. That's the way they could pass it down. And most times it wouldn't be changed. Wow. I mean, that tells you, you know, don't give me that's the way it's always been. But, you know, the idea here is stand up. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for who you believe in and speak it out loud. I mean, it's like we're almost afraid today, this day and age, to say, well, I stand for Christ and what Christ taught us and know what Christ taught us. If you don't know, go to the book of Acts. And that's where I'd start. Second place would be the book of Psalms. It's been said that the entire Bible is located in the book of Psalms. And it takes you all the way up through, you know, the things that you have had sorrow over, sadness, the things that, you know, that come up against you and try to take you down. And then it takes you back around and it lifts you back up and it leaves you in a place that you feel comfort. You know, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me in the 23rd Psalm. That is the spinal column that goes up your back and around your head and in through the forehead and down to the heart. And that is the rod and the staff. And so there's so much in there that it gives you if you take the time to want to know. The problem is most of us don't want to know. Well, when I was a kid, I was told by someone that, you know, we weren't supposed to ask about what the preacher talked about. I mean, you just weren't. You didn't ask any questions. You didn't ask any questions about the Bible. And I thought, well, how would you ever know? I mean, what was the book? Why was the Bible given to us and inspired to us? And actually, I believe that it's buried within every cell of our body. And that as we begin to seek it, begin to want to know it, begin to to ask, begin to knock on the door and the door is open, that the cellular structure itself will give you the answer. We live in a polarity world. If you read a small section of the Bible during the daytime, then it'll be in the evening or nighttime that the answer comes for those things that you have questions about, typically. If you read it at night, the answer will come during the day. And either one, you can always call here at 304-567-3354. And if you have questions, we'll be glad to answer them as to the best we can. And, you know, I've been studying the Bible since I was a child. I've been preaching since I was 12. And, you know, and I listened to every preacher out there. I went to every church that exists. And I wanted to hear what their doctrines were. I wanted to hear what they were preaching about. And seldom did I get answers to the Bible. Mostly I heard what went on in their life during that week. And I'm not putting down your preachers. Some of them are very good. Some of them care a lot. And some of them do everything they can to lift us up so that we can deal with what goes on around us. But I'm telling you that if you put your hand in God, then you won't have to worry about it, because God will lead you and God will make sure that the things that are obstacles or boulders in your pathway, he'll turn them into stepping stones. And what a difference it makes. You know, you can go to the end of the day and feel like you did everything that you needed to, and everything that was needed to be done was. For God, one must defy the defiance, resist the resistance, stand and fight against the darkness. One must wage that war in one's surrounding world and in one's own life. In such an age, it is not enough to have faith and hope in righteousness. One now must take up the fighting faith, a fighting hope, a fighting holiness, a fighting love, and a fighting joy. When's the last time you told somebody you didn't even know you loved them? The people of God are to become victorious people and a heavenly army, a spiritual, so to speak, IDF. They are no longer to be counted as victims of the dragon, but as those who war against the dragon. As we bring this home, we must return to that which involves and will involve everyone reading these words, for we must all deal with the dragon. And so we will now set our focus on the ultimate and final overcoming of the dragon. And you are either for one or the other. If you are for God, then you must follow God's will and let him lead you in the ways that you should go, so that you may take on the righteousness and a righteous body. Or you are on the side of the devil, and one lie will put you on that side. And it is becoming harder and harder to jump back to the other side, if not almost impossible. So just all I can say is hold to the faith. Don't let go of it, no matter what. Don't let go of it, because we're moving to a time where there's no more Holocaust. There's no more fear, no more pain, no more graveyards, no more sorrow, no more death, no more mourning, no more weeping, and no more pain. And these are the days when the dragon will have passed away. And again, the only thing he can fight or use to fight is you. He is not bigger than God. God has no enemies. And the only thing he can do to hurt God is to take one of his children away and over to his side. And don't let yourself be one of those. And I know you had some things you wanted to add, Sandy.
Yeah, that was very good, Jim. Thank you. Yeah, I would like to talk a little bit about our light body, the Merkaba. You know, every person is an extended cosmic expression of God's self-realization. In being one with the light, our quest is to discover harmony and understand the power of the Holy Trinity. All things that are seen and unseen can be revealed to us so that we can overcome our limitations of what we understand. Because our limitations, we tend to create disharmony in our life. And when we don't include God in our decisions, we limit our abilities of what we can experience. So as we incorporate the divine Holy Trinity into our life, we gradually graduate into the light body, recognizing our self's growth and then setting aside our selfish ways. We need to acknowledge our higher purpose with the light and separate from the darkness that tries to control us. The task of the enlightened soul is to draw the light to you and unite with its source, God, and to join in its oneness with us. The illusion of life is that the illusion of separation is from the divine. The illusion is overcome by divine love and wisdom. And as it's said in the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, and you are not to have any gods before me. But also, you must love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Remember, the Divine Father is always present in our conscious mind, and we need to reconnect ourselves through love and wisdom with God to move forward through this limited consciousness reality. Then are we able to be guided by the source of the all. Inner thoughts, forms of higher consciousness, inner thought forms of your high consciousness, takes us beyond just simple material experiences. And these thought forms are present always to assist in the movement back into the living light. Because life is a series of self-realizations. It is the light body, as demonstrated by Christ Jesus, that is strongly and positively empowered in the energy fields of the divine. So in the divine light, we become aware of the unity of the all. You see, the light body is inherent in each of us, but it takes willingness and awareness to activate and move to a higher purpose in life. It is our rational mind and emotions that stops us from understanding our higher directions. We must consciously take control so that we can move beyond to higher levels. Then we can regain a sense of oneness with all life, with God, and with all beings. This is a process of awakening our spirituality within and becoming aware of our light power. Going beyond our limitations to understand our purpose here and to help others. So by entering the pure light of higher consciousness, we can experience a full life of bliss. And by living in an awakened state, we are totally aware of the higher light that moves us into a new experience of our purpose for being here. We are destined to go through stages of growth. So as we become sensitized to the divine light, we begin to take on our radiant body of light, and we begin to activate our Merkaba. When your soul reaches its greatest level of awareness and attunes with the Father God, you're able to reach many dimensions of light, and this expansion into other realms of intelligence is done by Merkaba. You see, the Merkaba was used by the people of Israel to describe the visitations of the hosts of God to earth, exemplifying in Ezekiel's experience of the wheel within the wheel. The Merkaba can be seen as a pure light. It's called a vehicle of vehicles, and it can take on any color appearance, and it can guide you into other experiences of creation. Merkaba can interface and move through other dimensions of light. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge to understand how a connection can take place between the spiritual forces of Merkaba and our physical world. The Merkaba can communicate to us through light consciousness forms. In its flight through the heavens, our Merkaba, or light energy vehicle, through rotating and counter-rotating fields of energy, creates an overlap between systems of time and space. And by creating the threshold configurations with its power, the Merkaba allows one level of intelligence to directly connect with a series of other intelligences. So the source of this power is from the mind, which is in conjunction with God. It is the mind of the master which operates, controls, and stabilizes the Merkaba at all times. The Merkaba is the inter-counter connections between higher intelligences operating within this universe. We are one singularity of light within the pluralism of the divine light. We are one form of space-time creation operating on a ray of a large Merkaba of a greater system. So Merkaba is a light moving in creation in oneness with the eternal God. It is the image of holiness that descends from higher realms and commands the life force of mankind to awaken and become one with the universal intelligence. The Elohim use this divine light to extend their knowledge and intelligence through Merkaba vehicles to evolve consciousness. So the mind, through faith healing, can directly concentrate its brain waves on an area of the body and project healing through a light circulatory grid that's built into your heart. The Merkaba links thought form creations within the universe, and it brings prophetic consciousness from one level to another level of creation. It's the Merkaba is the emanation of the returning to the Father. So, as you align yourself with the divine presence of the Father, and you ask that God's eternal mind come into you and use you as a light for others, then the body of light consciousness comes into you when you are balanced and have removed yourself from negativity and begin to experience your light body consciousness. Then you'll be able to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. And you will communicate to the higher beings of light through the Merkaba. You see, the Merkaba is really the human light body. The Merkaba, you know, has the same meaning in several languages. In Hebrew, it is Merkava, and means both the throne of God and a chariot, a vehicle that carries the human body and spirit from one place to another. In the Egyptian, the word Merkaba is actually three words. Mer is a special kind of light, a counter-rotating field of light. And ka means spirit. At least here on the earth, it has the connotations of a human spirit. And ba means the interpretation of the reality, which here on earth usually means the human body. So when you add these words together, Merkaba, it's a counter-rotating field of light that will interact and translate the spirit and the body from one world into another. It is the creation pattern itself to which all that exists has originated. You know, first, there is the energy flow through chakras and meridians and each cell in the body. And then there's the prana field, which is close to the body, that's generated by the chakra meridian's energy flow. And then there's the auric field that extends out a few feet off the surface, generated by our thoughts and feelings and emotions, surrounded by an egg, like an egg-shaped energy field. And the Merkaba is a potential of the geometric fields of light and is created through consciousness. So the human being is surrounded by numerous geometric fields of energy that are electromagnetic in nature within this dimension. And the Merkaba extends into all possible dimensions, and in each dimension uses the laws of that dimension to manifest. And the star tetrahedron field, that is the first geometric field off the surface of the body, sometimes is referred to as the opening to the Merkaba. In the Merkaba, it is like a 17-step process. And in this process, there is a cleansing process. There is a raising of consciousness to from third to fourth dimension. And then there's an activation of a field of energies that rotate in opposite directions to create a 55-foot diameter field, which looks like a spaceship. And in the first six parts of the process, you're using breath techniques, visualization process, and mudras, which are hand and finger positions. And the first six are going to be cleansing at that of the electrical system and balancing of the polarities by activating a male and female tetrahedron. And using these visualization and mudras or hand positions and rhythmic breathing, you are able to cleanse your physical body and the energy fields of the body. Now, before we fell in consciousness about 13,000 years ago, we breathed prana through this prana tube that runs through the center of the body, connecting star tetrahedron fields. And by breathing through this prana tube, which is from the top of the head down to the feet, which is combined with rotating fields around the body, it produces the Merkaba, a vehicle for ascension. And in the second part of the process, of the starting at breath 7, you begin to build this ball of light at your navel, and eventually you're going to expand it around your body like the Leonardo da Vinci, around the form of the body. And you're going to move the ball of light at your navel up to your heart area, which moves consciousness and awareness from third to fourth dimension. And then you move on to the last three breaths, where you're working with three star tetrahedrons. Now, a star tetrahedron is a star of David, or a six-pointed star in 3D. Okay? And they're superimposed over each other around the body. And the fields are rotated by linking together the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. The mental field spins if you're standing inside of it to your left, and the emotional field spins to the right. And the physical body field, it stays stable. So as the mental and emotional star tetrahedron fields rotate at specific speeds, eventually a 55-foot diameter sphere appears, and it looks like a flying saucer. And the field is known as the Merkaba. It's the original creation pattern of the universe on all levels of existence. And like we said, the Mer means counter-rotating fields of light, the Ka meaning spirit, and the Ba, the body or reality. So the Merkaba is a counter-rotating field of light that takes both the body and spirit through it, with it. And once you know how to activate these fields, you can use your Merkaba to travel throughout the universe. If you were to follow these energy lines of this star tetrahedral field to their source within the body, you'd be looking at the tiny star tetrahedral field of the original eight cells, or what they call the egg of life. And so it all starts here. It's all about geometry in the body. And it is building, and it creates these, starting with a tetrahedron, which is just a three-pointed pyramid, you know, and you have the sun one, which goes from the knees to above the head, and the earth one, which goes from the chest to below the feet. And you're using these fields of energy, filling them with white light, to cleanse and purify. Until the last three breaths, when you combine the two tetrahedrons into a star tetrahedron, and you have three of them, and that's when you activate them to spin, eventually to 9/10 the speed of light, where it activates the 55-foot diameter disk. Now, what I have found in utilizing this energy is that it is so powerful that once it's activated, if you are anywhere near devices like an airport or any other type of equipment, that it can actually set these fields off with spikes of energy. And there have been times when I have activated them, and there is no doubt that there has been the black helicopters that have flown over top of me. And Jim, you very well have been there with your
too many times.
Yeah. But there is a way that you can keep that from happening, because you can program your Merkaba field to be unseen and undetected.
And not at an airport.
Right. And, you know, but it's still active. It just can't be picked up by devices. And so a lot of times I recommend that you do this so that you don't set off all these, you know, electronics around, you know, critical areas. But, you know, in utilizing this Merkaba field, even at the point of whenever the Earth goes through its shifts, we will eventually move from a third dimensional reality into a fourth dimensional reality. But when this happens, what will take place is that your mind will become very forgetful, and you won't remember the past. And so, if you have your Merkaba field activated, you will carry with you the memories of all that you've experienced here on this plane into the next higher level or dimension.
And you'll slip easily into it.
Right. And once you learn how to do the activation, which is the 17-step process, it literally only takes a few minutes to run through it and do it, you know? Is it a little complicated at first? Yes, but you'll soon pick it up, and it will just be second nature to you. Now, it has been said that if you continue doing the 17-step process for a period of time, that if you really need to, in an emergency crunch, we'll say, you can just activate the 17th step, and it will activate the whole Merkaba field. Now, this field of energy, this 55-foot diameter disk, will last about 48 hours in its full force field.
And you can also do a surrogate around your children if they're under 18 to protect them while they are out and about going to school or going about their day.
And this is absolutely correct. And it is possible to do surrogates around other things. If there's a piece of property, or if there's some other person that you're trying to protect, or an object, or whatever it is that you're trying to protect, you can do a surrogate. But what I will say is that it will drain a little bit of your energy from you to do a surrogate, because you are feeding the surrogate to hold that field of energy around whatever or whomever it is.
But evil cannot penetrate it if you set your Merkaba to repel it.
Right. And after the Merkaba has been activated, you can program it. You can program it to create more love in your life, more prosperity, you know, more courage, more whatever it is that you want to manifest. You know, you can program this into your Merkaba. And so your Merkaba is your personal energy field, but it can link itself to multiple levels and dimensions of consciousness.
And even with the Christ.
And even with the Christ, yes. And so we do recommend that whoever wants to learn this, that you do try this, because it is very important at this time.
Yeah, if you give us a call, we'd be glad to set up a class and run you through it and how to do it.
Yes.
Again, 304-567-3354 or Sandy's with an S, angeltalk@aol.com.
And we want to thank all of you for joining us for our Angel Talk radio show. And we hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks.
God bless.
God bless.